hurt the Celtics in game one. Obviously, when you don't have two of your starters with Marcus Smart and Al Horford. So we wondered about their availability for game two. Well, they were both back. I didn't think that Horford was going to be back that quick. You said that Smart was probable yesterday. So that helped a lot. But the biggest personnel change that they made probably happened
in game.
During the game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. When they put Robert Williams on the bench and brought in Grant Williams and they went small, and then they just went on a run, Matt. To the tune of, by the time halftime came, they're up 70-45. But what was that run that the Miami in game one, Miami had that third quarter where they outscored Boston 39-14.
Yes.
Well, this game had the Celtics going like, I think it was like a 57-27 run, something like that. Run for Boston in that first half.
70-45 at the half, and the teams played even in both the third and the fourth periods. I was thinking about this, Craig. You know, you hear this a lot, and everybody has a right to their own opinion, but for those that say, boy, the NBA playoffs just take forever, and they're all best of seven series, and just it just seems like a marathon, and it can be. I'm not saying it can't be, but I find it absolutely fascinating watching these series, and we talk about this every year, about how coaches adjust game to game, and sometimes in the middle of the game. And that's what happened when Udoka put Grant Williams in. And from then on, the Celtics really just took off at both ends of the floor, really, by going small. So now one would think that as well as it worked last night, the Celtics would probably stay small. And so what does Miami do in game three to counter that? So for everybody who says that, the playoffs just take forever and it's just a marathon and, wait me when it's over and all that, I, with all due respect, I don't know that everybody's paying attention. I just think that it's so fascinating to watch how the different teams and coaches adjust. Smart was huge getting back on both ends, Craig. Now, I don't know, and like I said, 24 points, 5 of 12 from 3. I mean, he had 12 assists against only one turnover. He played well, played really well, both ends of the floor. I will say this, I don't know that going forward that you necessarily want Marcus Smart to be shooting more than Tatum or Brown. Matter of fact, Jason Tatum had the third most shots in the game last night. But
if he's making them, keep shooting.
He was, but on the other hand, Craig, Tatum was 4 of 6.
I mean, 8 of 13.
Yeah. So,
And on the defensive end, and you talked about this yesterday, Matt, but obviously Jimmy Butler has been a problem for them. And Butler had another nice game, 29 points, 11
he was still
of 18
really good.
Shooting.
Yes.
But his free throws were down to 8 from 18 in the first game.
Right.
And with Marcus Smart, okay, so he ended up on Jimmy Butler on 28 out of the 46 plays. All right, that Butler was on the floor. Marcus Smart was the final defender on Butler, and Butler only took 4 shots when Smart guarded him. So, again, to your point yesterday, he was very, very effective when he was on the floor yesterday.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, getting Smart back is huge. And I don't want to minimize Horford. I mean, he was 4-4 from the floor, hit both of his threes, had 10 points. But I just think getting Smart back, in my opinion, was much more important. And again, like you brought up, maybe the move of the game, and not maybe, it was getting Grant Williams in the lineup. And I'm not sure he ever came off the court after he went out there. And Williams was offensively 5 of 7, hit both of his threes, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Craig, you know how I am about plus minuses. I'm not as high on that stat as you are, but he was a plus 37 when he was on the floor. Heck,
that says everything.
Peyton Pritchard was a plus 39.
Well, he came in at the 5-minute and 14 mark of the first quarter is when he checked into the game. The final 17 minutes of the first half, they go on a 57-27 run. 57-27.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
That's a plus 30 right there.
Yeah, that tells you all you need to know about his impact.
That's the ball game, in other words.
Yes.
That was the whole ball game, you know, right there. And the Celtics, they started knocking down threes.
Well, yeah, and you bring it up on a daily basis, Craig. Sometimes, most of the time, all you got to do is look at the three-point column. Celtics were 20 of 40. Okay, that's, even for me, that's not hard math, 50%. The Heat were less than 30%, 10 of 34. Tells you what you need to know. I mean, the getting Smart back and the other guys, you know, how that affects the other guys defensively on that team just makes a huge, huge difference. So as we always talk about, you and I both always quote Matt Pinto in that each playoff game is an entity to its own.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this is why you can't overreact to one game. And I would say the same thing for tonight's game, Craig, and we'll talk about that more later. But would I pick Golden State tonight? Yes. But I'm not going to be surprised if the Mavericks find a way to rebound and win that game tonight. But, again, Boston, a tremendous bounce back. They seize the home court. Now, home court advantage can be fleeting. You know, you never know. Miami can go up there and win and get the home court right back. But, you know, now the onus is on Eric Spoelstra, who I think most people, myself included, have a lot of respect for. Now the onus is on him to figure out how to attack Boston if they continue to go small, which I would assume they would do.
Well, and you said it, Matt, that the defense was the key. We can look at all the fancy three-point shooting and all that.
Precisely.
But, like,
yep,
in that first half, down the stretch, like, Miami was 0-for. We gave Smart's defensive numbers, but in the first half, Miami was 0-for-4 with four turnovers when Horford was the primary defender. They were 0-for-4 and four turnovers when he was the primary defender of that possession. And so it was big getting Horford back also. Both of them, like you said, 70-45 at halftime. And just, you know, the defensive pressure that Boston gave, you know, after they made the switch and went smaller and having, like we said, having Horford and Smart back helped. But Miami goes 2-for-8 over the final few minutes of the first quarter, and then 3-for-15 over the final 20 minutes of the first half. 3-for-15. And all of a sudden you look up and they're down by 25 points, and it's ball game, and they lose by 25 points.
No,
right?
It's precisely right. So, yeah. No, hey, listen, I thought it was a terrific bounce back performance by Boston, and again, now the onus is on the Heat. How do they adjust to what Boston got? You know, Boston's big adjustment was getting Horford and Smart back, and then putting Williams in. Like you mentioned, midway through the first quarter, from then on, the Celtics just absolutely took off. You know, now how does Miami adjust?
Yeah. Yeah, and what are the Heat? Like we said, Butler had another nice game, 29 points. But, you know, who else? I mean, who else was
well,
there?
And,
I mean,
Stephen A. Smith said that exact thing. He said, look, the Heat are going to lose in five if nobody is there to help out Jimmy Butler. You know, last night, Oladipo was only 2 of 8 off the bench. I know he had 14 points because he had 9 of 10 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Craig, if I'm looking at the column correctly, other than Jimmy Butler and Oladipo, there was only one other made free throw last night, and that was by Tyler Hero. So nobody else was getting to the line, or at least making those free throws. And I know the game was essentially decided at the half, but
The Celtics were 21-for-23 at the line. Now, Celtics hit the threes. You said it, Matt. I mean, 20-for-40 for three,
and
that's probably going to win most games right there.
It was more than that.
Yeah.
And it's probably fair to assume, because we know that Miami is a very good defensive team, I wouldn't count on the Celtics hitting 50% of their threes in each game the rest of the series.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen. But at the same time, I'll guarantee you that's what Eric Spoelstra is preaching in film study this morning. Said, fellas, well, I mean, 50% from three? That better be a challenge to you guys. I guarantee you that's one of the things they're going over right now.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.